Factu. Hello and welcome to the news recorded on Wednesday, the 27th of June. I'm Margaret.
I'm Joyce.
And I'm Phil.
And your sound engineers this week are Martin. And Joyce will start us off with the news.
The rebranded West Midlands Metro is offering lower prices on some tickets from its launch on Sunday. After 18 years of being run by National Express, the Metro will now be run by Midland Metro Limited, an arm of the West Midlands Combined Authority, otherwise known as WMCA. The Midland Metro will be renamed the West Midlands Metro, and tram passengers are being promised lower fares and new ticket packages with the launch of the new era. Midland Metro Limited, MML, is a new operating company that has been set up to run the tram service and will be wholly owned by the WMCA. Some of the price changes are the introduction of a Metro-only day ticket priced at £5.50 during peak periods and £4 after 9:30 a.m. and all day at weekends. Reductions in some single and return fares by an average of around 10%, making it easier for customers to have the correct change available. The creation of a new Metro Group ticket priced at £8.50 during the day and £5 after 6 p.m. and all day at weekends. Work is also underway developing a Metro mobile phone app to pay for tickets. Travel on the Metro can also be paid for via the Swift card, the West Midlands Travel Smart Card. Any season tickets purchased before June the 24th will remain valid for travel until their expiry date. No changes will be made to season and joint bus and tram tickets. For those needing to speak to someone, West Midlands Metro customer services will be on a new telephone number of 0345 835 8181.
Children and adults with disabilities are being refused vital wheelchairs, according to campaigners aiming to take legal action against health chiefs. We Love Carers claims people who are mobile enough to walk around their homes unaided do not qualify for a wheelchair outside under the new criteria. They claim it means some living in Dudley who desperately need wheelchairs are going without. The group has launched a crowd justice page, which has already raised more than £2,000, for a certificate of investigation, as they believe the wheelchair users have not had their voices or concern listened to. Rachel, who founded the Dudley-based We Love Carers, said, "We as a charity got notified of the criteria changes towards the end of last year. And it basically seems if you can walk in the house, you don't need a chair outside of the house."
England's first state boarding school for girls could be built in Stourbridge, under ambitious new plans unveiled this week. Stourbridge's Old Swinford Hospital, one of the few remaining state boarding schools for boys in the country, is applying to open a girls' day and boarding school. OSH proposals would see the new facility, which would be a day and boarding school open to any girls aged 11 to 16, built on land owned by the school's foundation on Norton Road. The proposed Old Swinford Hospital for Girls would be a five-form entry, non-selective school aimed at pupils from all backgrounds across the Dudley Borough, An OSH statement said, "The aim of the girls' school is to raise aspirations, progress and outcomes for girls from disadvantaged and other backgrounds in Dudley, in the borough, and beyond through replicating the strengths of OSH. The girls' school would be closely supported by OSH and its curriculum would have a bias towards STEAM, that is, subjects science, technology, engineering, environment and maths, as well as offering sport, dance, drama and music."
The council chiefs are clamping down on littering in Dudley, with more than £80,000 in fines handed out in 3 months. In March, April and May this year, more than 1,092 notices have been issued in Dudley, compared with just 14 for the same period last year. Each fixed penalty notice issued is £75, totalling £81,900 in fines issued over a three-month period. It comes after a team of ex-police and military personnel with body cameras took over patrolling the borough's streets, parks and open spaces in March. Councillor Karen Shakespeare, Cabinet Member for Environment Services, said that the council have a zero-tolerance approach to anyone caught littering. Kingdom Enforcement Services took on the responsibility in March. The firm has five officers on the beat, plus one team leader overseeing operations during a 12-month pilot, which will also cover dog fouling from the very start of this month. The move does not cost the council, with Kingdom receiving payment direct as a percentage of the financial penalties issued to those who drop litter or fail to pick up after their pets. The local authority also retains a percentage of the income from the fixed penalty notices. Councillor Shakespeare said, "Residents and business have told us that they want to see tougher action against those who blight our landscapes with littering and dog fouling. We have a zero tolerance approach towards anyone caught committing these offences, and we are pleased to see that Kingdom's new enforcement getting swifted to work." Mark Mountford, business manager for Kingdom, added, "Our results speak for themselves, and the message is simple. If you drop litter or don't pick up after your dogs, there is a good chance you'll be caught and hit in the pocket."
The family of local legend Marpardo have been tracing their roots, visiting the birthplace of the famous landlady in her honour. Doris Pardo ran the Old Swan, or Marpardos, in Netherton from 1931 until her death in 1984, aged 85. Now, family members have traced her history back to her birthplace in Bridgetown, Cannock, and with the help of the local history society, have learned more about their famous relative. Her story began in Staffordshire in 1899, when she was born to Edward and Irina Jones, who owned and lived in the convenience store in Bridgetown. When Doris was 11 years old, the family moved to the Black Country and entered the pub business. In October 1918, when she was 19 years old, Doris married Frederick Pardo, and the pair lived in the Hollybush pub in Wolverhampton, which is one of a number of pubs they managed before moving to the Old Swan in 1931. Her birthplace on North Street is now a business called Heat Tanning Studio, but is still recognisable as the shop formerly owned by the Jones family. Derek Middleton, Secretary of the Bridgetown History Society, said, "We're extremely proud. It's a proud time for the village to know we had a Black Country legend living in our village for so long. We are planning to put up a blue plaque in honour of her. Built in 1863, the Old Swan is famous among real ale drinkers and is one of the few pubs in the Midlands that still brews its own beer on the premises. The popular pub was loved so much that when it came up for sale in 1985, shortly after Doris's death, the Campaign for Real Ale, Camra, set up a company to purchase and run it. Although the company was short-lived, the pub was able to survive and has been run by landlord Tim Newey for the last 18 years. In 2001, it was registered as Grade 2 listed. In March 2018, it opened as usual, despite the fact a car had driven off Hales Owen Road and smashed through the pub wall when the driver suffered a medical episode. Luckily, the pub's rare vitreous enamelled tiled roof appeared not to have been damaged.
St John Ambulance volunteers are heartbroken after learning the charity's base in Briley Hill is to close after more than 125 years. The life-saving charity's base in Bench Street has been put up for sale, with its youth and adult volunteers set to split to two different venues. Adults will travel to St John's Centre in Dudley, while youngsters will now receive first aid training at Pensnet Community Centre instead. The move has received some criticism from volunteers, but St John bosses at local and national level insist it is the right decision. The centre is set to close on July the 6th, after the branch's awards night, and youth leader Lee Batham said it would be a sad day for the area. Mr Batham said, over the last 4 years, members of Briley Hill St John have raised more than £110,000 for our home, and now they have taken it upon themselves to sell off the building. We are being forced to find somewhere else to make our home. And we have been really lucky that the people at Pensnet Community Centre have been fantastically accommodating to us long term. We've supplied paramedics, nurses, doctors, surgeons, GPs, cardiologists, firemen, policemen, people across the board with expertise that they have learned at Briley Hill and gone on to further their career. It's heartbreaking for me and the fantastic group of kids we have here. Kids get a bad press, but there's not a bad apple among them here. And they were all upset when they found out this was no longer to be our home. Philip Walker, Estate Programme Manager for St John, insisted the decision would not jeopardise the charity's future in the area.
Controversial plans to transform a former business site into homes have been given the green light. The mix of houses and apartments will be built at the Bodycraft site in Briley Hill after councillors approved the proposals. It comes just a year after developers were refused permission to launch their housing scheme on the site over fears that neighbouring Hammond Chemicals would be too noisy for residents. Sean Hammond, director of the chemical company, told Dudley Council's Development Control Committee the scheme would provide poor residential amenities and claimed it was an unacceptable development. He said, "We are a very busy, noisy chemical site. We are now at risk of noise complaints. We have a good safety record, but the hazards and risks, there is no guarantee. The block of land is allocated for industrial use." But the majority of councillors were unconvinced by his pleas to halt the development and gave the plans the go-ahead on Tuesday's meeting. West Midlands Fire Service and the Health and Safety Executive offered no objections to the plans at the junction of Dudley Road and Canal Street. Developer Westleigh Homes will now build 32 homes
and 33 apartments, including affordable housing at the former vehicle repair business site. A three-storey apartment block, which did not feature in the previous application, will act as an acoustic screen and is expected to reduce noise from Hammold Chemicals warehouse. Councillor Colin Elcock, who represents Norton, said he did not think the development was viable and abstained from the vote. He added, "This type of housing is being aimed at young people who really have not much choice of housing. They are going to be living on top of a chemical works and living in an industrial area. Hammond Chemicals has been there for such a long time. There is noise generated." Council Asif Ahmed, who represents St James, said he could not find any planning reason to reject the plans.
Nearly 300 shop workers in Wolverhampton are able to breathe a sigh of relief today after Beatty's owner, House of Fraser, escaped the threat of immediate collapse. Loss of a crucial vote today could have pitched the department store chain straight into administration. With shops closing and jobs lost in weeks, or even days, rather than in 7 months. House of Fraser secured the backing of creditors and landlords for a rescue deal that will see half its stores, including Beatty's, closing in early 2019 with the loss of 6,000 jobs. The retailer can now axe unprofitable stores and slash the rent it pays on 10 others. The deal still leaves Wolverhampton facing the loss of its iconic Beatty's store after 140 years, but it gives the city and the site's owner until early next year to find a new use for the building. And for the 279 staff, it means they will get paid while they try to find new jobs, in some cases after working decades for the landmark store. However, the former Rackham store in Birmingham's Cross Street will close, as well as branches in Telford and Shrewsbury, with a loss of 1,250 jobs. Only the House of Fraser shops at Solihull and Sutton Coalfield will be left in the West Midlands, among 29 nationwide. Winning the vote means Chinese firm C. Banner, owner of Hamley's Toy Store, will buy a controlling stake in the House of Fraser and then pump £70 million of new cash into the business. The rescue also gives the department store chain valuable extra time from its lenders.
Pensnet traders are desperately trying to rebuild their businesses after a year of roadworks hell. Excuse me. The multi-million pound traffic busting scheme to improve High Street is due to finish at the end of July, but the work has had a devastating impact on surrounding businesses. Many established businesses, including a butcher's, hardware store and convenience shop, have closed down since the work began in May last year. Surviving businesses have also felt the strain, with footfall and sales dropping dramatically throughout the disruption, which has seen the road widened and new traffic signals installed to improve the traffic flow and pedestrian safety. "It has been terrible," said Paula Pilcher, owner of Summerhill Bathrooms in Bradley Street. "We've all lost business because of it. We've had no compensation or help from the council. I was told that businesses shouldn't rely on passing trade. That's ridiculous. Everyone relies on passing trade. We can see a light at the end of the tunnel, but we just want the roadworks gone now." Miss Taylor of the Florists said she had written to Dudley South MP Mike Wood to see if the council would provide compensation for loss of earnings. However, the local authority said it could only provide compensation to businesses where property or land had been acquired under a compulsory purchase order. Councillor Karen Shakespeare, Dudley's Cabinet Member for Environmental Services, said the council was now putting the finishing touches to the scheme, including installing traffic signals, resurfacing the road and repairing pavements. And with that final news item, we'll now wait for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Margaret.
Goodbye from Joyce.
And goodbye from Phil.